Good evening. Welcome to the Sunday night worship service here at Florence Boulevard. We're thankful each one of you chose to be here tonight. We have several visitors with us, and we love to have visitors here at Florence Boulevard, and thank you all, and come back anytime that you have the opportunity. There's a few that we need to remind ourselves of as we word our prayers this week. Brother Gene Gooch is in North Alabama Medical Center with pneumonia. We need to remember Danny Coates. He will make a trip back to Birmingham for a six-month scan. Pray for good results from that test. And we need to remember Linda Barnes and Mr. Carolyn Wells, that both of them fell recently and they're recovering. So we need to remember all of those. The celebration dinner will be held tomorrow night for everyone that had a part in helping with the benefit and trail ride at the children's home. And the dinner will take place tomorrow night at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Meat, drinks, and chips will be provided, but we do need hamburgers and hot dog buns and fixings and desserts. This week, May the 10th through the 14th, is our week to deliver Meals on Wheels. We're still in need of someone on Friday. If you can help with this, please sign a sheet on the foyer in the back. If there are no other announcements, we'll begin the worship service.
Stand for our first song, please. They tried my Lord and Master with no one to defend. Within the halls of honor, he stood without a friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my day shall end. To all who need a Savior, my friend I recommend, because he brought salvation. It's why I
walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said I'm never forsaking, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight above. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Song before prayer number 791.
On bended knee I come, with a broken heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you, as I pledge my love anew, I worship you in spirit.
Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this beautiful day we've had and for the rains that we've had, for so many blessings you give us each and every day that we often don't even think about. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day that we can celebrate our mothers and for all the influence that our mothers have had upon us. Thank you, dear Lord, for this congregation of people that meet here, and especially, dear Lord, for the elders who shepherd this church, for their adherence to your biblical principles and truths, and for staying strong in those principles. Thank you, dear Lord, for the speaker that we're going to have tonight, Brooks Jackson. Give him a good remembrance of those things which he studied as he brings his word to us. Thank you, dear Lord, for young men like him and like Austin who are willing to serve and to minister to others. Thank you, dear Lord, that the COVID pandemic appears to almost be over, that life is slowly returning to normal for most of us. We want to remember those, however, who have lost loved ones due to the pandemic. Please encourage and help those families who have lost loved ones. Continue to give them strength. Be with those who have been mentioned tonight who are sick, who are in the hospital, and those who are recovering at home. Give them good health and help them soon to be able to be back to their normal lives and to be able to be with us here at Florence Boulevard. Be with us now as we do enter into worship, and may our worship be pleasing in your sight. Continue, dear Lord, to always give us those things we need. Keep from us those things we don't need. It's in Christ's name that we do pray, and amen.
Song of encouragement at the appropriate time will be number 904. 904, if you'd like to mark your books. Before Brooks brings us our lesson, we'll sing 524. 524. Would you stand, please, as we sing? And remain standing for a reading from God's Word.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known.
Tonight's scripture will come from Matthew 6, and I'll be reading verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father. Let me start over. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You may be seated.
Have you ever done something to somebody else? Something wrong to somebody else, and it came back to bite you. Maybe you pulled a prank that didn't go so well, that backfired, and it just went wrong. Or maybe you actually just wronged somebody. You did something wrong to them, and you got what you deserved in return. You might know this kind of thing better as karma, and I know that we don't believe in karma as an actual thing, but we also claim it, the idea that what goes around comes around. And you know, when I think about this idea of karma, I think specifically about the idea of instant karma. You know, when you do something to somebody else, usually happens in a prank, when you prank somebody else and then it backfires on you. Here's just a quick example of that. A man kicks a dog and turns around and runs into a brick wall when the dog tries to chase him. That's just one example of instant karma. And I have several little clips here that I was going to share with you. I don't know if they're going to work, but I think we get the idea of instant karma. This guy in this video, the guy, you can't see him, he's not pictured in the picture, but there's a guy that runs and kicks that soccer ball, and the soccer ball misses the guy who he's trying to hit, bounces off the brick wall and hits him in the face. This one, there's a guy on that bed below the guy on top. This is actually a big fear of mine at school, having bunk beds. There's a guy you can't see pictured under there, and he's kicking the guy's bed on top. And eventually, that guy on top, his bunk finally collapses on top of the guy that's down there that you can't really see. We're not working. Can you advance the slide? Oh, there we go. Well, I guess technology is going to cooperate with us tonight. Anyways, that idea of what goes around comes around. I especially think about that when it comes to things like this. And let me ask this now that we have established that. Do you ever think about something that Jesus said or taught and think to yourself, man, I sure wish Jesus had never said that. I really wish Jesus hadn't said that, because that's a really hard thing to do. I'll just give you an example of one thing that comes to my mind when I think about that. I wish Jesus had never said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Because that's a really hard thing to do. Like, Jesus, do you not know how hard that is to do? You might have a thing that you can think of off the top of your head that Jesus taught or that he said, and you think, man, Jesus, that's a real challenge for me in my life. One of those things that I wish Jesus had never said is what goes around comes around. And you might be thinking, well, where did Jesus say that? Did Jesus ever even say that at all? Well, Jesus didn't say word for word what goes around comes around, but he did imply it when he taught about forgiveness. And what was read for us just a minute ago there in Matthew chapter 16, listen to what Jesus says. It's right after Jesus prays the Lord's Prayer with his disciples. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So Jesus says, forgive and you will be forgiven. But if you don't forgive others, then you will not be forgiven. In other words, Jesus is saying what goes around comes around. Jesus, why did you say that? Do you not know how hard it is to forgive others, especially those who have hurt me or who have wronged me in many different ways? Jesus does understand that, and we'll talk about that later on. But right now, I want us to look to a different passage of Scripture. So Matthew chapter 18, if you want to go ahead and be turning there. In this passage, Jesus' teaching from Matthew chapter 6 is on forgiveness is beautifully exemplified in this parable that he tells. And Jesus tells this parable in response to a question that Peter asks in verse 1. Peter asks Jesus, he says, Lord, how often will I forgive my brother who sinned against me? As many as 7 times? And it's important to note there that back then for the Jews, to forgive just 3 times was a big deal. To forgive 3 times was a very generous thing to do. So for Peter to ask Jesus if he should forgive 7 times, that would have been viewed as a very, very generous thing to do. It would have been almost unheard of. I don't think Peter expects the response Jesus is about to give him in verse 22. Jesus says, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And I just imagine Peter just in complete shock, just stunned by what Jesus said. His jaw just drops to the floor. Went, Jesus, how could you say that? And we all know that Jesus' response isn't literal. Jesus isn't literally saying that you forgive somebody 77 times and then after the 77th time, then there's no hope at all. That's all you can forgive people, the only amount of time you can forgive people. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is doing what he always does. He's using a point. He's exaggerating that point to make it clear to us in this specific context that our forgiveness is unlimited. Our forgiveness for other people is infinite. That's how forgiving Christ expects us to be. And we're going to see that as we continue to look at this passage. But after Jesus tells Peter this, he can't keep from illustrating with the excellent parable that he tells here in Matthew chapter 18. And we're just going to take this piece by piece. We'll stop and make some comments along the way, but we're going to start in verse 23. Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now I want to stop right there, and I want to put this into perspective. I want us to see just about how much money 10,000 talents would be. I'm going to compare it to money today, how we use our money, to show you how much money 10,000 talents is. You're going to see this in an outrageous amount of debt. So a denarius was a day's wage for a common working man. In today's world, at about $7.25 minimum wage, it would be $58. In antiquity, a denarius could buy 15 pounds of wheat. A talent is 6,000 denarii, or 20 years of daily wages for a six-day work week. Today, one talent would be about the equivalent of $348,000. Therefore, 10,000 talents is about 200,000 years worth of labor. It's 60 million working days. In modern money, it's about $3.48 billion. Now, here's just a note about that. If you tried to service 4% interest on that amount, it would take $5 a second every second until you paid it off in 200,000 years. At 4%, if you did not pay $5 a second interest, then the debt would begin to double at a rate of once every 18 years. Here's just a quick visual of what 10,000 talents would look like. Take a one-ton Chevy pickup truck. Fill the bed up with pure gold. And line up a bunch of Chevy pickup trucks full of gold for about 1.3 miles. Just picture out here on Florence Boulevard Road. If we were to go out there, line 1.3 miles of Chevy trucks with gold in them, that would be the equivalent to 10,000 talents. $3.48 billion. It's 375 tons. Of gold. And the point that I'm trying to get you to see this is an extremely outrageous debt that this servant is never, ever going to be able to pay off in his lifetime. It is not possible for him to pay this debt. So let's continue to read, see what happens next. Picking back up in verse 25. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Listen to verse 27. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Now keep in mind that being sold along with your family was a common punishment for somebody who owed debt and could not pay it off. This man is aware that he's not going to be able to pay off this debt. So as any of us would do in this situation, he begins to desperately beg and plead for this master's mercy. He gets on his knees, and I just picture him crying, begging, and pleading his master to have mercy on him. And I think it's kind of funny how he says, be patient with me and I'll pay you everything. What does he think? He's going to win the lottery the next day or something? There's no way. There's no way this guy's going to be able to pay off this debt. And he knows it. But he's desperate. He's desperate for forgiveness. And then you get to verse 27. Finally, that master looked at that servant. And he felt bad for him. And it says that he had pity on him. So much so that he forgave him of the equivalent of $3.48 billion. I don't know about you, but I cannot begin to imagine how relieved, how thankful, how grateful I would have been for that kind of forgiveness, for somebody to do that for me. And so after this whole thing happens, that servant leaves. And let's continue reading, picking back up in verse 28 to see what happens next. But when that same servant, the same servant who was just forgiven of an unforgivable amount of money, when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who only owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him. It's kind of familiar. "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay off the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to the master all that had taken place. What is this guy doing? What is this guy thinking? He literally just received the greatest act of forgiveness that he will ever receive in his life. And I were this man again, I would like to think that I would have been so grateful for this, so influenced by this master's forgiveness, that it would have influenced me to go and forgive others the same way. That's what should have happened, right? Now this other servant, he only owes about 100 denarii. And with the numbers that we were talking about earlier, that would have been about $5,800. It's a real debt, and the debtor should rightfully repay it, right? But the point is that it's nothing compared to what this unforgiving servant owed his master. It's not even a fraction of a fraction of what he owed the master. And you know what? The servant's unwillingness to forgive this comparatively extremely small amount of debt reveals his true wickedness. He had not truly been transformed by the master's grace and forgiveness. So let's see how the master responds to this. Verse 32. It says, "Then his master summoned him and he said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay the debt." I don't know if you caught that, but that's exactly what that unforgiving servant did to the servant that owed him money. He threw him in prison. What goes around comes around, right? It's clearly exemplified in this passage. So this servant, he absolutely ticked the master off. And notice that the master says that he forgave the servant because he pleaded with him. He forgave because he felt bad for the servant. He loved the servant. But the servant didn't truly appreciate what the master did for him. And in return, he gets what he deserves. He's delivered to the jailers until he should pay off all of that debt, which he knew was never going to happen. And let's not miss the most important part of this entire parable, the message of this parable. In the very last verse, Jesus says, "So also my Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Folks, tonight, I am in debt. My debt is extremely large, and it's so large that it far outweighs any debt that any other person will ever owe me. My debt is my sin. And the wages of that sin is death. And my master, he has the right to get rid of me. He has the right to throw me in prison forever. But because I beg and plead and cry for his mercy, he forgives me all of that debt. But it doesn't end there. This master expects me to extend this forgiveness to others. He expects me to appreciate his forgiveness so much and to be so transformed by it that I cannot help but to extend the same deep kind of forgiveness to other people. But do I? Have I forgiven others? Do I truly appreciate what God has done for me? Sometimes I think I struggle to forgive because I do not truly appreciate the forgiveness that God has extended to me. And just think about that for a moment. Do you truly appreciate God's forgiveness? Do you ever even think about how great and how vast God's forgiveness is? Psalm chapter 103 and verse 12 literally says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us." How amazing is that? Do you know how far it is from the east to the west? It's an infinite distance. And that's how far away God removes your sin. That's how God forgives us. Do we truly appreciate that? And going off of that, as Jesus says at the end of this parable, if you say you have forgiven others, have you forgiven from the heart? I want us to focus on those three words for just a moment. What does it mean to forgive from the heart? Forgiving from the heart is more than just mere lip service. Forgiving from the heart is deeper. Forgiving from the heart means forgiving out of genuine love, expecting nothing in return. Forgiving from the heart is forgiving unconditionally. The master in this parable forgave not because he expected something in return, not because he expected that servant to bring money to him eventually. No, he forgave because he loved that servant. He forgave unconditionally. And you know what? God forgives us unconditionally because he loves us. So if I'm going to share the same forgiveness that God shares with me, it's going to be forgiveness that stems from genuine love for others and expects nothing in return. A love that truly cares about one's soul. Folks, we can say that we forgive others all day, but if love is not rooted in that forgiveness, then it means nothing. And I would dare say that forgiveness without love is not really forgiveness at all. And I want to talk about something right here. Sometimes, this is just from my perspective, you might disagree. Sometimes, though, it seems like Christians can be some of the most unforgiving people in the world. And folks, that ought not be so. Christians should be the most forgiving people in the world. You know why? Because the world will only know the forgiveness of God when they see the forgiveness that we extend to other people. But not only am I afraid that some Christians may be viewed as some of the most unforgiving people in the world, but I'm afraid that Christians are especially unforgiving toward each other. It's so sad to see the body of Christ split and divide because one person just could not forgive another person. Folks, if we are truly the body of Christ, there not even be a hint of an unforgiving spirit. And I can't imagine how much it hurts Christ when he sees members of his own body tearing each other apart because they can't forgive one another. I want to make something clear tonight. I am the unforgiving servant. I'm not up here preaching at anyone but myself. And if anyone here needs to learn what true forgiveness is, I'm first in line. But I do hope that I've challenged each and every one of us to forgive deep, to forgive from the heart. I want to wrap up with a story maybe you're all familiar with. It's fairly recent, but this is a picture of a guy named Botham Jean's brother. He's in a court trial there. If you don't know who Botham Jean is, he was a Harding University student a couple of years ago who was shot and killed by a lady. Whether or not it was intentional, nobody really knows. The lady walked into what she thought was her apartment and saw a man in there and shot him because she thought it was an intruder. It turns out she went in the wrong apartment and shot him in cold blood. But, of course, charges were pressed and that lady was convicted. But this is a picture from a video that I was going to share, but I'm just going to briefly tell you the story. So Botham's brother gets up there in court because he wants to say something to the lady who's killed his brother. And he, with tears in his eyes, he looks at her and he says, "You know, I don't want you to go to jail. I know that you've done this and it's wrong, but I love you and I forgive you." And then the most beautiful part of this entire video, if you haven't seen it, he looks at the judge and he says, "Can I go give her a hug?" And so you see him crying and you can hear the lady just sobbing in the background. And the camera pans to both of them hugging one another for at least a minute. Just a beautiful, beautiful picture of forgiveness. You know, I can't really think about that story without getting at least a little bit emotional, because God is all over this story. You see, what Botham Jean's brother did here for this woman will probably be the greatest thing anyone ever does for her. And this might be the only time she experiences what true forgiveness is. Forgiveness that is motivated by love. Forgiveness that is unconditional. You see, he understood the importance of forgiveness. And this woman could very well come to know Christ because of his great act of forgiveness, because of what he did. And folks, that's why this is so important. I see God clearly in this story because I too am a murderer. In fact, I'm responsible for killing God's only son. Further, I do it every single time that I sin. And God looks at me with disappointment. With tears in his eyes, he says, "You killed my son. You beat him to the point where he was unrecognizable. You tore his flesh apart. You spat on him and you mocked him. You nailed him to a cross. And as you nailed him to that cross, he even pleaded for your forgiveness." Earlier, I asked the question, does Jesus not understand how hard it is to forgive others, especially when they've hurt you so badly? He absolutely does. In fact, as he was being crucified on that cross for our sins, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But we continued to nail him to that cross. We did all of this when he was completely sinless. He had done nothing wrong. We did this to God's only son. But you know what? God still looks at us with love and says, "I don't want you to go to jail. I only want what's best for you. I don't wish anything bad upon you." And when we repent, when we beg and plead for mercy, when we're truly sorry, God says, "Come give me a hug. I love you. I forgive you." And folks, here's the wonderful news of the gospel. Though our sin put Jesus on the cross, he rose again. He conquered death. We could not kill him, and he is alive and well today. And because of that, we can receive forgiveness for our sins. I hope you believe that with all your heart. I hope that tonight you've been challenged. And you may be here tonight Maybe you're struggling to forgive somebody in your life. Maybe you're struggling to forgive truly from the heart, out of love. You might be struggling with other things. If you need prayers of the church in any way, you know you can come here. And if you're not a Christian, if you have not accepted that awesome gift of forgiveness that God willingly extends to all people, you're missing out. It's a wonderful gift. It's absolutely wonderful. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless as they walk and stone? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest in Thomas in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood?
This evening and have not had the opportunity to observe the Lord's Supper today, it has been left prepared in the classroom in the back. If you'll make your way there now, you'll be served. This note from Mike Davidson: any of the young people that need or want a ride to the devotional tonight on the bus, please see him down front as soon as we are dismissed. Do remember our service is Wednesday night at 6:30. Hope you'll be back then. We're going to sing a verse of a closing song, and then we'll be dismissed in the closing prayer.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll of skull and thunder, I'll be there. When the roll is called of thunder, when the roll is called of thunder, when the roll is called of thunder.
Our Father in heaven, as we come before thee this afternoon to close out this service, we want to thank you how blessed we are to hear two fine lessons this morning and this afternoon from some talented speakers on your word. Help us to take what we have learned today and take it into our everyday lives so that through our examples to others, we will lead them to you. We want to ask a very special blessing on those men and women that are overseas and throughout this country, away from their loved ones. We know that we have people that are serving in this country that miss their mothers today, and they miss their children, and they miss their wives, and they're doing all this so that we can come and do what we do today, which is worship you in freedom. We also want to ask a special blessing on those that are sick, the ones that are supposed to have tests this week. Be with them, guard and guide them, the hands that are ministering to them. And we have been found faithful. Give us a home in heaven with thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.